We're on Daf Tzadi Aleph, Amid Aleph. Just count down from the top. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down. Toshma. The Gemara is still analyzing the original question, the Boilahu from Daf Tzadi Amid Beis. And the question is, which comes first, Tadir or Mekudosh? As we discussed in the previous year, Toshma, we have machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about Kiddush on Shabbos and Yontif. Beis Shammai is of the opinion that we start with the bracha of Kiddushas Hayom, and then at the end, we're about to drink the wine, we recite Bar Pri HaGofen. Beis Hillel reverses the order, and we start with Bar Pri HaGofen, as we're familiar, and then we recite Kiddushas Hayom. And the Braisa that we're about to learn quotes a new explanation for Beis Hillel. The classical explanation for Beis Hillel is that Yayin is Gorim LeKiddush Hayom, which means without Yayin there's no Kiddush, so you have to start with the Brach on the Yayin. But Dover Acher, the Braisa, offers a second explanation. Why does Beis Hillel have the Birchas Hayayin first? Because it's Tadir. Birchas Hayayin Tadira, U Birchas Hayom Eino Tadira. It means the following. Although it's hard to say that Birchas Hayayin is Tadira in the classical sense, meaning that applies even during the week, not just on Shabbos, because that's not a chova. You can go through the entire week without reciting Birchas Hayayin once. And here we have the Shagas Aryeh. He says that Birchas Hayayin Tadira means that it has a chova, not only in Kiddush, but also in Avdolah, in Birchas Eris, in Birchas Nesu, and every kosher bracha requires Yayin. So that puts Bar Pri HaGofen on a separate level. It's a bracha that is obligatory in so many different cases of a kosher bracha. The Malbim disagrees with the Shagas Aryeh. He says you could be Bekadish on Lechem, and you could recite Birchas HaMotzi, and still Beis Hillel would insist that bracha comes first. And it's hard to say that that bracha is a chova for Avdolah, Birchas Eris, and Nesu'in. In those cases, there's no lechem. So therefore, he suggests that Birchas Bar Pri HaGofen is Tadira because it's Mitsuya, because it's quite common that we drink wine even on a daily basis. That pshat of the Malbim is also a little bit difficult because the Gemara here is operating not with Mitsuya, but right with Tadira. And therefore the Chova element is critical, as the Shagas Aryeh said. And Tadir Rishenu Tadir, the Gemara says, Tadir Kodem. You see here clearly that Birchas HaGofen, according to Beis Hillel, becomes the first bracha before the Kiddush Hayom, Afal Gav the Birchas Hayom Kiddesha, has a greater level of Kiddusha, because after all, the essence of the bracha is about the Kiddush Hayom of Shabbos, the Kiddush Hayom of Yontif. So despite the fact that Kiddush Hayom is Mekudosh Tvei, nevertheless it's Tadir, and Tadir trumps Mekudosh. So the Gemara rejects this proof because Otu Shabbos Birchas Hayom Mahani LeBirchas Hayayin Lo Mahani. To the same extent that the bracha of Birchas Hayom of Kiddush Hayom becomes a bracha of Mekudosh, that's because of Shabbos. It's essentially related to Shabbos, the Yontif. The same logic should apply to Birchas Hayayin, because the Birchas Hayayin for Kiddush is now interwoven into the fabric of Kedusha Shabbos. It's not just the regular bracha on the Yayin. We might say that the Birchas HaYayin is an essential part of Kiddush. So the Kiddush HaYom of Shabbos sanctifies both the bracha of Kiddush HaYom and the bracha of Bar Pri HaGofen. So in this case, on the level of Mekudosh, Birchas HaGefen and Birchas HaYom have the identical status. And the reason why Beis Hillel insists that Geffen comes first is because of Tadira. That's not our suffix. Our suffix was Mekudash versus Tadira. You're talking about a case where in Hilchas Mekudash there are two equal variables or candidates. But one candidate has the additional dimension of being Tadir, and that tips the scale. But that's not our case. We're trying to get, you know, on one side of the equation we have Tadir, on the other side we have Mekudash. Tashma, the Gemara now has a raya from a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. And this has to do with which comes first, in the case of Shabbos and Yontif in the afternoon, if he hasn't yet davened Musaf, which comes first, Mincha Musaf, the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara Brachos Chavches, if a person did not daven Musaf until time for Mincha, now he has two tefillos, Musaf and Mincha, which comes first, Halacha, Rabbi Yochanan says, we paskim mispalel odom shel mincha v'yaka shel musafim. And the reason for the kedima here of mincha is because mincha is tedira. Even though tefillas musaf is a quintessential tefillah of Shabbos, of Kedushas Hayom. So as far as Mekudash is concerned, yes, the davening of musaf would take precedence, but keneged on the other side we have mincha, and mincha is tadir. Mincha is a chiyuv on a daily basis. That we can't say about Musaf. So although the tefillah of Musaf is machmas kiddushas hayom of Shabbos Amoed, and that element is lacking, is absent in Mincha, but nevertheless, Mincha topples because it's Tadir. So you see that Tadir is greater than Mekudash. And the Gemara rejects this. Atu Shabbos, the Tefillos Musaf and Ahani, the Tefillos Mincha Lo Ahani, to the same extent that Shabbos generates and permeates the nature of Musaf, Shabbos also envelops Tefillos Mincha and upgrades it to a level of Shabbos. The Tefillos Mincha is not your classical chiyuv of Chol, of a weekday. It's a different kind of a Tefillah Mincha on Shabbos. And Shabbos is Mekadesh, not just the Musaf, but also Mincha. So as far as Mekudash is concerned, once again, we could equalize both Mincha and Musaf insofar as Shabbos generates the Kedusha for both. But Mincha will now trump Musaf because it has the additional element of Tadir. Now, I'm a little bit confused why the Gemara doesn't add another factor here as to why Mincha comes first. And that is because Musaf doesn't belong to that period of time. And you could counter-argument say that, well, Musaf was obligatory even during the early part of the day, before Mincha. Maybe therefore Musaf should come first. But those svaras don't seem to play a role over here. Tashma will bring another raya from a Mishnah back on Daf Tzadi Yom and Beis, our Mishnah. It says, Shlomim shall emesh. So yesterday, Shlomim, again, they were shechted today, they were brought to the Azara yesterday. Chatos v'yoshev shall ayom, as opposed to Chatos and Oshev that were brought to the Azara today. And again, if not for the fact that the Shlomim was brought yesterday, we certainly would give precedence to Chatos v'yoshev over Shlomim, because these are karbonos that are kodshe kodshim. Shlomim is only kodshim kalim, but here the Shlomim has the advantage that it was brought yesterday, and the Mishnah says Shlomim shalemish kodmin. Now it's to delay and postpone the Shlomim from yesterday and now today because of the Chatos V'yoshem, that we're not going to do. It's a zilzul in the Karpin Shlomim if we delay it. That's what Rashi says back in the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi. So the Gemara wants to say, the Gemara wants to apply a dumio situation over here. What would be if the Shlomim was not brought yesterday, or either the Idi Diyom, let's say both these karbonos, the Shlomim and the Asham, or the Shlomim and the Chatz, came to the Azara today, is then the din would be Chatz v'Asham Kadmi, because again, they have a greater level of Mekudashim, insofar as they are Kedushas Kodshi Kodshim. V'afal gav de shlomim tadiri. Shlomim is considered tadir in comparison to chatas v'yasham. Chatas v'yasham are occasional, fluky kind of situations where you, which arise in the case of a serious chait. But shlomim is considered tadira. Now, exactly why you call shlomim tadira, that's going to be actually the Gemara's objection in just a minute. Shlomim is not exactly tadira. It's not like you have a time period that generates a chiv shlomim on a regular basis. You can talk about a carbon ola, a carbon tamid, but not shlomim. So I'm not sure exactly how to explain this Gemara, and Rava rejects this for the same reason. He says, you're not giving me a case of tadir kodem, but rather matzui ka'amrit, that shlomim is more matzui. And you're going to give kedima to the chatas v'yasham, assuming they came into the azar on the same day as the shlomim, because mekudesh tvei, where shlomim is lacking in the element of tadira. It's matzui again. You know, it's more commonplace, if you will. It's more frequently brought. Again, chatas v'yashim, we said, is a bit unusual, to say the least. But it doesn't fit into the category of tadir. So therefore, in the case of matzui, for sure, I'll admit that mekudash takes precedence over matzui. Lo kami bialach. I never asked such a question, but what would be in a real tadir? Shlomim is not a real tadir, but if you had a real tadir, then I would wonder whether or not you would bring the mekudash first. And that was our suffix. Amalei Rav Huna bar Yehuda l'Rava atu matzui lav tadir. I'm going to quote to you a brisa which uses the term tadir to reflect a matzui, meaning that in the Chazal, in the Tanoim, there's an equation between matzui and tadir. Now, we're going to read this brayse of Tanya after the following introduction. In the parsha of Karban Chatos, on three different occasions, the Torah uses the phrase asher lo te'asena, actually four times. Once in the parasha of Parakoin Mashiach, another time in the parasha of Parahelim Dovah Shel Tzibur, a third time in the parasha of Chatas Nasi, and a fourth time in the parasha of Chatas Yochid. Why does the Torah have to repeat Asher Lo Te'asena four times? So the Braisa wants to know the following. There are situations of Chet, and we have to know what level, what category of Chet would engender a chiyuv chatos. For example, let's say the chait was that he was mavatel a mitzvah saseh. And even within mitzvah saseh, we have a regular classical mitzvah saseh, we have a mitzvah saseh which is much more severe, and then we have the most severe, which is Pesach, or for that matter, Milah. Those already on mitzvah seh sheish ben kares, non-fulfillment will generate kares. So the Braisa says as follows, this pasuk, asher lo te'asena, in Vayikra Dalet, is telling us that only on a mitzvah lo saseh do we bring a karban chatas, not a bitul esei kala, not a bitul esei chamura, not even Pesach, and Milah. The Otzi, maybe the Braisa says, I will exclude, based on Asher Lo Te'asena, Pesach. Why? Because She'eno Tadir. But V'lo Otzi Es HaMila She'i Tadira. If I only have one Pasuk, the Braisa is justifying why I need an extra Pasuk. But what was the Havamina before the last of these Pesukim of Asher Lo Te'asena? That maybe that Asher Lo Te'asena In the first Asher Lo Te'asena is coming to exclude mitzvah saseh kala. In the second case, it's coming to be mamayit a mitzvah saseh chamura, and then a mitzvah saseh sheish bo karis in the case of Pesach. But if I didn't have the fourth one, I would say, well, maybe in Milah, Enochinami, for the omission of Mila, we would need a Karvan Chatos. Again, I'm not exactly sure at what point in a person's life he would bring this Karvan Chatos, because L'chora, for the rest of his life, he could always do Mila until the day of his death, and by then it's a little too late for him to bring a Karvan Chatos. But leave that out for a minute. The Gemara says, how could the Braisa classify Mila as Tedira, such that even though Pesach has been excluded from a Karma Chatos in its violation, but Mila would not necessarily be excluded from a Karma Chatos? And why is that? Because Mila is Tedira. What do you mean Mila is Tedira? There's no Tediras in the Chova of Mila. You can't say that on every Sunday and Thursday is Chayav in Mila. You might want to say that Mila is Matsui in a comparison to Pesach. Pesach is once a year. Mila comes from time to time, which even that I'm not so sure about. But certainly to call it Tadir is very, very peculiar. And the Gemara wants to use this. Rav Huna wants to claim that this Braisa tells us that Matsui is considered a superior status over something that's not Matsui, even if the Matsui is not Tadir. It's called Tadir. Tadir becomes a catchphrase for anything that has this popularity or this frequency or commonality, as opposed to something that's totally fluky and is not common at all. So the Gemara answers, no. You're taking this Braisa too literally. It's true, the Braisa does classify Mila and describe it as Tedira, but that's not what the word Tedira means with regard to Mila. And the reason why Mila would take precedence over Pesach is because Tedira b'mitzvahs. Now, what exactly is Tedira b'mitzvahs here? So some say that Nichrisu Alesh Shloshesrei Brisos Vitzivuyim, which means if you go through the Torah, you'll find on 13 different occasions Mila is mentioned as a bris. Pesach is here and there, but it's not 13. And if you look in Brachos Perek Yud Zayin, you'll see Shloshesrei Bris. And the Gemara says that on Mila Nichrisu Shloshesrei Brisos. We also might say that, alternatively, what the Gemara means by Tedir v'mitzvahs is that, in comparison to every other mitzvah which comes and goes, Mila never goes. It's always in his guf. It's always there. That makes it Tedir Yoser. Ebi, same as the Gemara says, another way, another explanation I can offer you, Mila l'gabi Pesach yitadir dami. The word Tedira with regard to Mila is a relative term. Enochinami, technically you cannot classify Mila as Tedira. It doesn't have a chova that comes bekvius, but relative to Pesach, it's more Mitsuya. And we're left with our original suffix now. And that is, what would be in a real classical Tadir, where would that come before Mekudosh? And in the case of Shlomim, that doesn't really fit the bill and call it Tadir, such we can prove that Chatas V'Yoshim, if they came into the Azot at the same time as the Shlom, they get precedence because of Mekudosh over Tadir, because Shlom is not really Tadir, it's only Matsui. So the ultimate Maskana here is that there's no Pshitus. We never came to any definite conclusion about the Suffolk, which comes first, Tadir and Mekudosh. Ibayahu, now the Gemara presents a different suffix. Tadir, v'she'eno tad, v'kadim v'shachat l'she'eno tad. What happens if he went ahead and he shechted the carbon which is not tadir? Had he asked us, l'chatchil up front, we would have told him to shecht X, which is tadir. But he went ahead and he shechted Y, which is eno tadir. So what do you do now? Well, shechit is only the first avoda, and the culminating avoda would be Zrikas Hadam. So we have something called Memares Bidomo. There's a possibility of post-Shechita delaying the process of Zrika to pick up something that's even more urgent. Mi Amrini, the Gemara has a suffix. Kevan the Shachte Makriv. Should we say, well, he started the process of the Avoda, he's already implemented the Shechita, let him finish it? even though it's not Tadir. O Dilma, shall we say, no, Yoiv Liachid Maris Bidama, let him give the dam and the kli over to someone to keep the dam alive and prevent it by mixing it constantly from becoming dam karush, which is possible is Rika. And in the meantime, while this fellow who's being mamaris will bring either makriv le tadir, will take the carbon that's tadir and will be makriv that, and then we'll go back to this to the carbon she'eno tadir, which was shechted. One side of the Gemara is saying, no, once you shech the carbon, there's an urgent need to continue and complete the shechita. We can't postpone that. I mean, technically we could, but we don't want to postpone that. And that's going to trump even a tadir. The other side is to say, no, we'll take the shechita and we'll freeze the process. Don't take me literally on that, but we'll freeze the frame, so to speak. We'll keep the dam alive. Ad makriv leila tadir, we'll bring the carbon tadir, and then v'hadr makriv l'shena tadir, we'll go back to the original shechita carbon, which was an eno tadir. That's the suffek in the Gemara. There's a whole discussion here about the principle of ein mavir nal mitzvahs. Once he started the shechita, can he put it on the side? Maybe in this case, we will not apply the principle of ein mavir nal mitzvahs, because we have to pick up the mitzvah that's tadira, and that trumps ein mavir nal mitzvahs. Amar Rav Huna misura tashma, let's decide this based on a careful analysis of our Mishnah here on Daf Tzadi Amid Beis. The case is shlomim shel emesh v'chatos v'yosham shel yom. The shlomim was brought yesterday. The chatos v'yosham were brought to the Azor today. And the law is that shel emesh kodem will be makriv the shlomim before with makriv the chatos v'yosham of today. And the Gemara understood that yesterday they brought the shlomim to the azara. Today they shechted the karbon shlomim. The chatos v'yosham were brought today. They haven't been shechted yet. And the Mishnah codifies that the chatos, the asham of today, will have to take a back seat, and we're going to do the zrikas adam of the shlomim, finish the avoda that he started on the shlomim, and then, and only then, he's going to shecht the chatos v'asham. In other words, since he started the karban shlomim, by doing the shechita, he has to complete the karban shlomim. Ha di yom dumya di emesh, but in the case, let's be medayik, in the case where the shlomim would have come today, and it would be dumya di emesh, where he went ahead and he shechted the shlomim, hey, he dumya di kavod v'shachtei the shlomim, then the law would be the reverse, that chatos v'yosham kadme, which means we would have to leave the dam in the hands of a mamares until he brings the akrova, is completed the chatos v'yosham, then he goes back to do the zrika and complete the avoda of the shlomim. But he would not complete the avoda of the shlomim and delay the karbon chatos v'yosham, which is the makudash. So the Mishnah therefore is advocating that we will not follow through and complete the shlomim, the eno tadir. We'll put it in a frozen frame, as we said before, keeping the dam alive, and we'll be makriv the chatos v'yosham. Then only then come back to be makriv, meaning to do the zrikas adam on the shlomim. And again, this whole diuk is predicated on the following premise, that the Mishnah is addressing the case where the shlomim of emesh was shechted in the Azara, before the Avodas of Chatos and Asham were begun. So in such a case, since he began the process of the Shlomim, he's going to finish up the process of the Shlomim. That's only because it was the Shlomim Shel Emesh, which it was brought to the Azara yesterday, and then he went ahead and he shechted it today. In that case, we're going to push off the Chatos V'Yashim delay. But if both Karbonos, the Shlomim and the Chatos, would have been brought today, and he went ahead and he shechted the shlomim, then in such a case, the opposite would be true. We would give kedima to chatas v'yosham, and we would take the process of the avoda of the shlomim, and we would freeze it, hold it up in abeyance by doing the memaris. So the Gemara rejects this, because how do you know that the Mishnah is talking about that case, that scenario, where he already went ahead, Yishech, the Dilma, perhaps the Mishnah is talking about a case of Shlomim di Emesh v'chatas v'yoshim di Yom, Mishkachas le d'shchatinu l'chavayu, that the Shechit of both Karbonis was implemented simultaneously today, and now is saying that Shlomim requires Rikas Hadam, and even though again the Chatos was Shechted also requires Shechitas Hadam, but we're going to give precedence to the Shlomim, and why? Because it came to the Azor yesterday, and that in some sense generates its status of Kedima today as far as the Zrikas Hadam is concerned. But Aval lo shechtinu l'chavayu, but if he only shechted the shlomim, is tibaylacha. We don't know what would be the din in such a case. If he hasn't yet implemented the shechita of the chatas, which means that he has to start the process of hakrov of the chatas, he's already done the shechita of the shlomim. In such a case, I don't know what to do. Shall I say that since he started the process of the shlomim, we should not be mezalzel and delay the avoda, and then pick up the chatas v'yashom, but rather we should follow through with the zrikas hadam of the shlomim? Or should we say that since chatas v'yashom have the kedima of mekudoshim, therefore we have to trump the zilzel shlomim, overcome that, and delay the avoda the shlomim for the sake of the karbon that's mekudosh? And again, the same stuff could apply in the case of Tadir Sheino Tadir. If he went ahead and he shechted the Eino Tadir first, we don't know whether or not he should freeze it and now pick up the Shechita and then start the process of the Avod of the Tadir. So the Gemara now quotes another Brisa in this case, Tashma. This is a Brisa that we've seen before, Dover Acher, an alternative explanation for Beis Hillel, who has the kedima of Birchas Hayayin before the Birchas Kiddushas Hayom in Kiddush. It's Birchas Hayayin Tadiro, Birchas Hayom Eina Tadiro. And the reason for that is that Tadir V'Sheinu, Tadir, Tadir Kodem. You have to start with Birchas Hayayin in this explanation of Beis Hillel first. Now again, if you talk about the Zman of Kiddusha, then the Zman of Kiddusha, as far as Kiddushas Hayom is concerned, has already been engendered before the Zman of Birchas Hayayin. And if that be the case, because again, Birchas Hayom, meaning Kedush Hayom, is already engendered when he's Makabel on himself Shabbos, or from the moment of Tzeis HaKochovim. He's not ready for Birchas Hayayin yet, but he already has Kedush Hayom. And therefore, this would be like a case where he went ahead and he shechted the Eino Tadir. But the Tadir, or in this case the Mekudosh Tvei, came first. And nevertheless, we're going to say that since, according to Beis Hillel, the Birchas Hayayin is Tadir, although the Mekudosh came first, we're going to follow through with the Tadir. So we see that although the Eino Tadir, which in this case is the Birchas Hayom, again relative to Kiddush, came first, nevertheless, we're going to stop everything, freeze the frame, and go ahead and implement the Tadir. And therefore, in the case of Shechita, if he shechted the Eino Tadir, we're going to have to freeze that for the time being, and we're going to be makdim the Tadir, and then come back to the Eino Tadir that he started with. So Gemara rejects this as well. Hachanami, in this case also, it's not exactly our suffix. The Keva, the Asyan, since now, at this moment, he's got the Yayin on the Shulchan, you could say that right now, at this moment, is already Higiyazman, both Yayin and Birchas Hayom, is commanded Shchite, Chavayu Domi. Maybe this is a case where he went and he shechted both karbanos, the tadr and the sheino tadr, then for sure the tadr is kodem. Tashma, the Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Let's go back to the question of what comes first, musaf or mincha. Halacha mispal adam shel mincha v'yachakach shel musafim. Mincha has the status of tadira, it's a chova that's bekvius on a daily basis. Musaf is eno tadir. And therefore mincha comes first, even though the zman of tefilas musaf came before the zman of tefilas mincha. We made this point earlier today. And therefore, since it came before, it's almost as if he's begun to daven musaf. Again, that's the gap that the equation the Gemara is making here, that whichever one of these tefilos came first, the zmana was first, that's considered as if he's already in the process of davening it. So it's like he started with the Eino Tadir, and yet Rabbi Yochanan says he's got to freeze that and pick up the Tadir and daven Mincha. Gemara says, Hachinami came to Mate Tfilas Mincha, since our question is right now, and it's the Zman of both Mincha and Musaf, it's Keman Deshchiti L'Chavayu Dami, it's as if he's being Osek in both of these Karbanos, and therefore it's simple, we have no issues about this, that Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Kodem, he's going to have to daven Mincha before Musaf. The Gemara now brings another Raya. Amale Rav Acha Breid Rav Ashi L'Ravina, lest we poshate this Safek from a Sugya in Psachim with regard to Korban Pesach. Shachto Korban Chatzos, this part is not so relevant to us. If he went ahead and he shechted the Korban Pesach before Chatzos Pasul, if Neishen Nemar, brother, the Torah says, V'shachato, so-called Kahad, L'adas Yisrael, Bein Arbayim. So he went ahead and he shechted the Pesach before it's Zman, that's certainly Pasul. What's relevant to us is the next case. He shechted the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, which is its time, but he was meant to shecht the Korban Pesach after the Tamid. The Tamid comes first and the Pesach comes second. This is the only Korban that comes after the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. And the reason for that is because the Torah with regard to Pesach uses the word Ba'erev. In Tamid it says Bein Arbayim, that's a little bit earlier of a time period, but in Pesach it says Ba'erev, that you'll find in Dvarim Tesvav. But in any event, the bottom line is he was meant to shecht the Korban Pesach after the Korban Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim, and he switched the order around. He shechted the Korban Pesach, and he has not yet brought the Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. So the Braisa says kosher. In other words, even though he should have been mocked in the Pesach, but nevertheless, he should have been mocked in the Tamid, and if nevertheless he was mocked in the Pesach is kosher. Frek the Gemara, I have another solution here. Yehei, echad b'mareis b'domo, ad shi'yizrak adam shel atamid. Why not freeze the frame, stop everything after the shechita of the Pesach, keep the blood alive, do the avodas atamid, and then come back and be zorik the dam of the Pesach. This equation here is a very loose equation because, again, we're not talking about Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem. The reason why, as we said before, the Korban Tamid comes, the Tamid Bein Arbayim comes first is not because of Tadir, but rather because it's not yet the real time for the Korban Pesach. The Korban Pesach comes later on in the evening. But in any event, in a general sense, we do see that if you switched around the order, then we're going to say, go ahead and finish the Akrovas HaKarban. So whenever there's a din of Kedima, if you violated and undermined the Kedima, and you went through the Shechita of the one that's meant to come later, then go through the entire Avoda. And that's what we're going to do in the case of Korban Pesach, if it was Shechted before the Talmud HaKabai Askina. The Gemara rejects this Rai as well. Kegon de Kodim Shechtei L'tamid v'resha. He went ahead and he shechted the Korban Tamid before. He didn't ask the question about what he should do. And he now has two shechitos, two korbanos in front of him. He shechted both the Pesach and the Tamid. meaning he switched around the order as far as the Shechita is concerned, but now what we have in front of us is the Shechita of the Tamid. Now the question is, what should he do as far as Zrika is concerned? So we're going to tell him, do the Zrika's Tamid first, because Tamid comes before Pesach, and they were both Shechted. In the case where he hasn't yet Shechted the Tamid, and he went ahead and he Shechted the Pesach, switching around the order, it's possible that we would tell him that he should go ahead and be Zorik the Dam of the Pesach. Because once he started the Shechita, go ahead with the Shechita, even though he should have brought the Tamid first. And the Gemara now is going to prove that that's indeed the Hechatimtza of this Braisa, of this Mishnah, I should say. Omele Ravacha Sabol Ravashi Masdisa Nami Deka. The Mishnah's Meduyok that we're talking about, a case where he went and he Shechted the Tamid, the Ketani. It says Yehei Bemaris Bedomo Ad She Yizrok Hadom. It doesn't say Ad She Yishchot V'Yizrok Hadam. Shma Mino. It seems that we're talking about a case where he went ahead and he shechted it, and now that he shechted the Tamid, and the din is that the sequence is that Tamid should come first. He's got two Zrikos in front of him. Both Shechitas were done already. He should be Zorik now the Dam of the Tamid first. However, if he hasn't Shechted the Tamid yet, then it could very well be possible that in such a case, he would be Zorik the Dam of the Pesach first. We would not freeze the process in order to implement the Karban Tamid. So once again, we're left without any definite answer to this Suffolk as well. We go back to the Mishnah now. The Mishnah says, Ubekulon HaKohenim Rashoim Lech Lashanos Vachilosan. The Kohanim are allowed to eat all the Karbonis in any way, any shape or form that they so desire. My timer, what's the source for this? Omar Kra, the Pasuk says, in the Parasha Matnas Kuhuna, in Parasha Shlach, it says, Bamidbar Yudches, L'chol Kodshei B'nei Yisrael, L'chanas Satim L'mishcha, and L'mishcha means L'gdula, and that means that Kederach Shamalachim Ochlim. In other words, a melech can decide for himself in what form, in what shape he wants to eat something. He could order it, you know, cooked or overcooked. He can order it roasted, fried, I don't know what. And in order to allow for gdula, the Torah says that the kohanim have a right to decide how they want to eat the kodshim. And this takes us to the new Mishnah here, on the bottom of Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph. There are karbonos that are accompanied by shemen. Those are called menachos. And again, the only exception to this is going to be, number one, the minchas chote, or the minchas knos of a sota. But otherwise, every karbon mincha requires shemen. And in the case of mitzora, for his process of tahara, he needs to bring shemen with as an accompaniment with the rest of his karbonos, even though amongst those karbonos you might have an asham, you might have a shlomim, you know, it's not necessarily limited to a mincha. So we see that the issue is going to come up about shemen. Can shemen lend itself to what's called an adava bifnei atzmo? And that's the machlokus here in this Mishnah. Om Rab Shimon, Im Ra'isa Shemen, Shu Mischalik Ba Zorah Lekonim Sheyochlu, Eina Tatzorach Lishol Mahu, Ela Mosar Rekike Menachos, Minchos Yisrael, or Lok Shemen Shel Mitzorah. In other words, if you see that there's Shemen that's being divvied up amongst the Kohanim and the Azor for eating purposes, don't be surprised, but rather it's Mosar Rekike Minchos Yisrael. In other words, if there's leftover, the shirayim of shemen from a korban mincha, or a log shemen shel mitzora, so they were baking the rekikim of the mincha, and you bring with it a lug shemen, and you do meshicha with this lug shemen, whatever's left in the kli, is Nishar Lekonim, is Lachilas Konim, or if you take the Log Shemen of Mitzora, which is brought together with the other Korbanos in the Tara process of the Mitzora, and he uses the shemen for matan bahonos, for tnuch ozno, hayimonis, etc., then whatever's left over is mischalik b'migdash l'achilas kohanim. So if you see, says Rav Shimon, that they're divvying up the shemen, you can assume one of two things. There are only two possibilities. Either it was leftover menachos, shemen from the menachos, or leftover shemen from the matan bahonos of the mitzorah. And so too, Imra Isa, shemen shu nitan al gabi ha'ishim, there's shemen that's being poured on the fire itself. Ein tzarech lishol mahu, you don't have to be surprised by that. Ela mosar kike minchas kohanim. So we're talking about what's called shemen minchas rikikim shel kohanim. And this mincha is ola kulo ala mizbeach. It's called a minchas nedava shel kohen, which is completely burnt on the mizbeach. And this is outlined in the Torah in Vayikra Vav, kol minchas kohen kol il tia lo sochel, that a minchas chote shel kohen is eino necheles. So now, what's going on with this shemen? The shemen is going to be poured on the eish, on the mizbeach. Why? This is leftover shemen from the minchas rikikim shel kohanim. And this mincha is kulei kolil on the mizbeach. The shemen also, the mosa shemen from this meshichas harikikim is also burnt on the mizbeach. And minchas kohen mashiach, you have chavitim of kohen gadol, which he brings on a daily basis. The shemen is very large in its volume, and therefore, once there's a what we call a yitzika on top of the chavitim of the kohen with this shemen, then if after the rikikim are baked and is leftover shemen, the leftover shemen is going to be burnt on the mizbeach like a minchas kohen. And the reason that underlies this shita of Shimon, in which he identifies the shemen, either the shemen that's being divvied up amongst the kohenim as, you know, surplus shemen from the menachos or the log shemen shel mitzora, or shemen that's being poured on the mizbeach, which is mosar of rikike minchas kohanim, minchas kohen mashiach, you know that Rav Shimon holds that there's no possibility of another scenario of shemen, meaning of an edava of shemen. So that's called ein misnadvim shemen l'mizbeach. Now, there's no separate shemen bifnei atzma without a mincha that can come b'nedava. And therefore, once we've eliminated a nedava possibility, we know that the shemen that's being divvied up amongst the kohenim or is being burnt on the mizbeach, that's not a nedava, that's mosar from the various karbonos, as we explained. That's according to Rav Shimon. Ravi Tarfon Omer, misnadvim shemen, that there is such a thing as a nedava of shemen, as a karbon bifnei atzmo, and it'll either be nechal or it'll be niktar. Again, it depends on what kind of a nedava he took, but in any event, shemen lends itself to a nedava bifnei atzma. And the Gemara is going to immediately pick up the sheet of Rabbi Tarfon that shemen is bab in nedava. And the Gemara is going to bring now here on Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Beis a machlokas amoraim with regard to the shemen that's bab in nedava, whether we should completely take the entire shemen, the whole volume, and be makter on the mizbeach, or we should only be makter a kometz like we would in the mincha case, and the shar, what's ever left, is nechal lekonim. Omer Shmuel, ledivrei Rabbi Tarfon, that you can bring shemen b'nedava, hamisnadev shemen, komtso. Again, it's a little bit difficult to understand exactly how you implement the kmitz on a liquid. Tosa says it is possible. It's not like yayin, which is totally liquid. Here, shemen has a certain body to it. It's a little bit more similar to a kometz of mincha. In any event, Shmuel says, what do we do, according to Rabbi Tarfon, with this shemen? We do kmitza, shiara, and we're mocked to the kometz on the mizbeach, and shiarov, what's ever left from the shemen is necholim lekodim, so we're not mocked to the entire shemen that he was misnadev. My time of Omer Kra, the Pasuk says, Vayikra Beis, Venefesh ki sakriv korban mincha, melamed shemisnadvim shemen. And the Torah could have said, Venefesh ki sakriv mincha, but the Torah adds the word korban mincha. What's the extra word korban to darshan as a ribui, another korban, which he could bring, and that's shemen habab in adava. V'chi mincha, and it has the same status as the mincha itself. In other words, shemen is usually brought on the mizbeach as an accompaniment to mincha. If it's brought on its own as an adava, then it has the same process, the same avoda as a mincha. And again, the pasuk here of karbon, the extra word karbon is karbon mincha, so therefore it makes sense that Dumya de mincha, that this shemen as a karbon nedav b'fnei atzma should be dumya de mincha. Ma mincha kometza is komtza. He's mocked to the kometz on the mizbeach and only the kometz. V'shayreya necholim, what's ever left beyond the kometz is eaten by the kohenim, is af shemen. So too in the case of shemen shabob nedava, komtza ushiarav necholim. Later on, the Gemara is going to get into detail about the Tzuras HaDrasha, the mechanics of this drasha. Now it comes out that according to Shmuel, and we'll see this later on, there's something called Mizalfin Al Gabi Ha'ishim, that we're able to do a kmitza on this shemen, and then do Ziluf, we could drop it onto the Ishim. And we're going to compare that to a ziluf of yayin too. If a person would take an adava to bring yayin lin esachim, there'll be ziluf al gabi ha'ishim. The Mikdash David says that perhaps what Shmuel has in mind is that he has to be magdish the shemen and wait till the shemen becomes karush, becomes solidified, congealed, so that we can do a comfortable kmitza on it. He quotes here in the Masifta a kovet, some sort of an anthology of Chidushei Torah called Yeshurun, in which they quote Rav Beryl Soloveitchik, who's medayik from the Rambam, that with regard to Kabbalah's tumas concerned shemen karush, is not considered neither a Michael or a Mashke. And we're going to assume that Shemen of Menachos has to be a Mashke, and therefore we're not going to be Makrish Shemen Karush in the case of a Nedava Shemen, as the Mikdash David would say, because then it would be Pasul Akrova. Unless we say that there's Tvei Dinim here, there's a fundamental difference between Tuma and what constitutes a Mashke as far as Kabbalah's Tuma is concerned, and Menachos, as far as the psul koresh is concerned, karush. And therefore, even if the shemen is not karush, I'm saying the shemen is karush and it's not a mashke, as far as tum is concerned, it might still be considered shemen for menachos. It's not posul b'toras shemen karush. Or Amar Rav Zeira. Rav Zeira wants to prove from our Mishnah what we saw in Shmuel is Afana Nami Tnina. Let's look at the Reish of our Mishnah. And we know that according to Rav Shimon in the Reish of our Mishnah, we're not Maktir all the Shemen. We leave some of the Shirayim for the Kohanim. Omar Rav Shimon Imra Isa Shemen Shemeschalek Lekohanim Bazora Iyata Tzorch Lishol Mahu. Again, Shmuel assumes it's not Shemen Shel Nedava, but rather it's Mosar Rikike Menachos Yisrael Alog Shemet Shal Mitzora, because Ein Misnadvim Shemet. From the fact that Reb Shimon holds Ledaito, according to his opinion, that there's no suffek that if you see the shemen that's being divvied up among the kohanim, it's not bab and dova, meaning that ain shemen bab and dova klal michal demandi omar misnadvim. If you see shemen that's being divvied up amongst the kohanim, and you hold against Rabbi Shimon, you hold like Rabbi Tarfon that there isn't a dova of shemen, then we can assume that this is a shemen shel nedova, even though it's being divvied up amongst the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are now enjoying the benefit of the Shemen. So we see that you don't, I mean, that's Shmuel's Chiddush, that you don't take the Shemen of Nedava and makter it kulo kulo al mizbeach, but rather you leave some of it for the Kohanim. However, that's Rabbi Zeira coming to support Shmuel's understanding of Rabbi Tarfon. Omalei Abaye, Abaye disagrees, Ema Seifa, let's read the Seifa of the Mishnah. And we're still talking about Reb Shimon. He says in Ra'isa Shemen Shenitan al Gabi Ha'ishim, if you see Shemen that's being poured on the Ishim, Yata Tzarch Lushal Ma'u, it's certainly not Shemen Shal Nedava, El Mosa Rikike Minchas Kohen Minchas Kohen Mashiach. Why? Because Ein Misnadvim Shemen. So you see that the reasoning that for sure this Shemen is being poured on the Ishim is not Shemen Shel Nedova, is because there is no such thing as Shemen Shel Nedova. Michlal, demand Yom Misnadvim, Kul Ishim. That if you see Shemen that's being completely poured on the Ishim, then according to Mandi Omer, that there is Nedova, this is what you're witnessing here is Nedova of Shemen. And you see, therefore, that Shemen is Kulo Mukhtar Al Gav Mizbeach. There's no discussion here about divvying up the Shemen amongst the Kohanim. Again, the question we want to raise here is, even if, according to the Mandi Omer, Rabbi Tarfon, that Misnadvim Shemen, we don't have to burn the entire Shemen on the Ishim, according to Shmuel, it's Komeitz V'Shirayim Necholim. Nevertheless, if a Kohen himself volunteers to bring Shemen, then maybe in that case, the Shemen is Ola Kulo. It has the same status that it's completely burnt on the Mizbeach, like the din of Minchas Kohen. So the Gemara says the following. Let's ask Akasha on both Rav Zvid and Abai from the Diuk of Mishnah. La Abaye, Kasha Reisha, La Rabbi Zera, Kasha Seifa. How is Abai going to sustain the Reisha, which indicates that Shemen Habab and Adavu Bimushalik Lakoin? How is Reb Zera going to support and reconcile himself with the Reisha? I'm sorry, with the Seifa, Kasha Seifa, where the Seifa seems to indicate that the entire volume of Shemen is Mukhtar Kulo Alam Isbeh, completely burnt on the Ishim. So the Gemara is not bothered by the last question, the Seifan Rabbi Zera Bishlema, as far as Rabbi Zera is concerned, Rabbi Zera, since Shmuel holds that we're only mocked to the comets of the Shemen Abab and Adava, but the rest of it is divvied up amongst the Kohanim. So let's interpret the Reisha from which we derive the conclusion as a proof that Shemen is Meschalik LeKohanim, Bishirayim, the Shemen after the Kometz, after the Kmitzo is done on the Shemen, the rest of the balance of the Shemen is divided up amongst the Kohanim. The Seifa, in the case of Akhtara Shemen Shel Nedava, we're going to say the Kometz, it was the Kometz itself. That's what we saw being Mukhtar Al-Gab Mizbeah. So that's good according to Reb Zera. However, Labaye Kasha, we still have a problem from the Reisha, because the Reisha assumes that there is Chiluk Shemen, in the case of Shemen Shel Nedava, amongst the Kohanim. So the Gemara now defends Abaye as well. We shouldn't be Medayek from the Reisha of the Mishnah that Shemen Abab and Nedava is divvied up amongst the Kohanim. When the Mishnah says in the Reish that if you find shemen that's being divvied up in the Kohanim, you don't have to ask anything about this shemen. It doesn't say that in order to be medayik, that the reason for it is because if you see shemen that's divided up amongst the Kohanim, Abai would say that the Reisha is going according to everyone, whether it's Rav Shimon or Rav Tarfon, and if you see that shemen is being divvied up amongst the Kohanim, you know that these are shirayim of the Karbonos Mincha. They're not Nidava, because even right shirayim of Rekike Minchas Yisrael, Hashem Shabbat Zohar, etc., because even according to Rav Tarfon, if there was a Nidava of shemen, there's no way, no how, that the Kohanim could divvy it up. Because Shemen, Nidava Shemen is Einu Meschalik L'Kohanim. That's the Sheet of Abaye in Rabbi Tarfon. The Mishnah in the Reisha is L'Kuli Alma, tell you that if it's being divvied up amongst the Kohanim, the Shemen, then it must be Mosar, Kike Menachos, etc. And even though the Mishnah in the Reisha uses the terminology Iyata Tzarech Lishol Mahu, which sounds like we're talking about the Shita of Rabbi Shimon that Ein Misnadvim Shemen, and that's why Iyata Tzarech Lishol, implying that if you would have an Nedav Shemen like Rabbi Tarfon, there would be a possibility of interpreting this as Nedav Shemen. No. When it says that Ein Misnadvim Shemen, that's in the Sefer. And in the Sefer, for sure, what he's telling you, as far as Mukhtar Al-Gabi Mizbeach, that's definitely Yata Tzarech Lishol. You know that it's not a Nedava, because Ein Misnadvim Shemen, according to Rav Shimon, and therefore, if you're looking at Shemen that's being brought on the Ishim, It's got to be Mosar Rikike Minchas Kohen Mashiach, and that's coming Lafuke Rabbi Tarfon, who says that there is a Nedav of Shemen, and it's Mukhtar Al Gabi Mizbeach. And therefore, if you see Shemen Mukhtar Al Mizbeach according to Rabbi Tarfon, then you could identify it as, or possibly identify as a Nedav of Shemen. But in the Reisha, there's no such thing as an Adav of Shemen, which is divided up amongst the Kohanim. And if the Mishnah in the Reisha, which, you know, Ra'isa, Shemen, that's Mischalik L'Kohanim, it says, Iyata Tzarech Lishol, and it uses a language that sounds like the Sefer, because we're holding Ein Adav of Shemen, that's not true. The usage, the Mishnah in the Reisha employs the terminology, Iyata Tzarech Lishol, Mahu, as a borrowed term from the Sefer for symmetry purposes, but it's not coming Lafuke Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon would also agree that Mischalik L'Kohanim could be none other than Shemen Shel Chova, meaning Mosar Rikike Minchos Yisrael Elok Shemen Shel Mitzora, because there's no such thing as an Adava of Shemen that, according to Rabbi Tarfon, would be divvied up amongst the Kohanim. So the Gemara is not so happy about that. Bishlema Sefer Tani Mishum Reisha. You know, it makes sense to say that the Tana, the Mishnah, sometimes wants to be consistent and symmetrical in the Sefer, and he copies the language, borrows the language from the Reisha, and clones it onto the Sefer, even though it's not necessarily Meduyak in the Sefer. But the other way around, to say El Reisha Mishum Sefer Mitani, to say that the Reish is borrowing a term from the Sefer, that's not really something that we, you know, we're very comfortable with. So he says here, Ha'im Nitan Lomar Sheshona Tanas HaReish Mishum HaSefer. Do we have such a case that the style and the method of the Tan and the Reish is to copy the Sefer, as Abai would insist? And the Gemara says, yes, we do such a thing. Amri b'mar Rava, the Chacham of Eretz Yisrael say, Tana Reisha, Mishum Sefer, that sometimes the Tana and the Reisha will use a language which he borrows from the Sefer in order to set up the symmetry of the Reisha and the Sefer. So at this point, the Gemara now is going to pull a switcho and bring a proof for Abai, that Shemen Abba Ben Dova is Mukhtar Kulo, and it's not Nechal Lekon. Toshma, We have a Tosefta in Menachos, Yayin, that was brought as an Adova Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds Misnadvim Yayin. And that's a Mishnah Masechta Menachos on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. And Rabbi Tarfa disagrees with Rabbi Kiva about Nedovas Yayin. In other words, even Rabbi Tarfan, who argues there on Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't disagree with Misnadvim Yayin. He only disagrees with Rabbi Akiva about Nedovas Shemen. So when the Brisa says Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva, it means that this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, not to exclude Rabbi Tarfan, because Rabbi Tarfan agrees that there is such a thing as a Nidves Yayin. And what do we do with this Yayin? So Rabbi Akiva says, Lasfolim, that we pour it into the holes on the Mizbeach. There were two Sfolim made of Kesef that were contiguous to the Keren Dromis Maravis of the Mizbeach. One was used for Niske Yayin, the other was used on Chagasukas for Niske Mayim. They had these Nekovim, and the Yayin and the Mayim would go down through these Nekovim, and Mekalchin al Gaga Mizbeach, Vishoma Yored B'Nekev, Shoyev Mizbeach, Yored al Ashitim, Shetachas Mizbeach, that was Kalulim V'Amukim Yod. And we don't take the yayin according to Rabbi Akiva and pour it on the ishim. Shemen, again we're talking about in the Dova, is kedivrei Rabbi Tarfan le'ishim. Rabbi Tarfan holds that if a person takes upon himself in the Dova to bring shemen, then we pour the shemen onto the ishim and it's burnt completely. My love, mi diyayin kula lasfolim, is shemen is also kula ishim. The diuk here is that just like in the case of Yayin, the resh of this Mishnah, it says that we pour it, the resh of this price, I should say, we pour it on the Sfolim, the entire Yayin, its total volume is poured into the Sfolim. So to Shemen in the Sefer, which is Nitan Le'ishim, it's Kul Le'ishim, and that would support the Shit of Abaye, that there's no such thing as Mosar, the Dova Shemen, according to Rabbi Tarfa, which is divided up amongst the Achilles Kom, but rather it's Mukhtar Kul Al Gabi Mizbeach. So Gemara rejects this proof. Midi Iria, is that really a proof? There's no compelling argument here that we have to interpret all the Dinim of Tosefta in the same way. Hakidisa v'Hakidisa. In the Reisha, when we're talking about Yayin, that's one shot. And the Seifo, when we're talking about Shemen, is a different set of rules. Each one is a parsha b'fnei atzma. So as far as the Reisha and Yayin is concerned, it's Nitan Kulo is fallen. But as far as the Seifo, we could possibly interpret it that the Din of Shemen bin Adova is Nitan Le'ishim, not all the Shemen, but only a komitz of Shemen, as Shmuel interprets Rabbi Tarfan, that we're makter only the komitz, and the rest, the balance, is divided amongst the Kohanim. So therefore there's no proof from Abaye. There's no proof for Abaye from this Tosefta. We can still maintain the interpretation of Zerah of Shmuel that there's only going to be Akhtara on the komitz, and the balance is going to be divvied up amongst the Kohanim. Now the Gemara tries to interpret the machlokas between Shmuel and Abaye about Shemen Abav and Adov. Is it Mukhtar Kulo? Really, this depends on an earlier machlokas Tanom and Rapapa Kitanoi. The machlokas Shmuel and Abaye is identical with the machlokas Tanoim in the Mishnah Menachas Kuv Zayin HaOmer Alai Harei Alai Shemen Bin Adova. He didn't specify exactly how much Shemen his neder commits him to bring. Lo yifchos milok. According to Tanakama, the minimum amount of shemen that you have to bring in a stam and a dova is going to be a lok. Rebbe Omer shloshes lugim. Rebbe, on the other hand, holds you need a minimum of 3 lugim. And the Gemara explains that machlokes b'maika miflugi amru rabbanan kami de rapapa. And Rav Papa is the one who's going to explain the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe with regard to the limit of Gzeira Shava. We have a Gzeres Shava, we have a Hekesh, we have Binyanav, and we use them to derive conclusions and analogies that if something applies in one inyan, we're going to apply it in another inyan. And that's called Don Mine Umine, as opposed to Dun Mine Viuki Biasra. Dun Mine Umine means if we needed to learn something in this particular context, then we could derive other dinim from that. Even though it's possible to derive the other dinim that are talking Mefurash and Binyan. Or do we say no? Don Mine, Dun Mine Viuki Biasra. We'll derive whatever we can from this limud, but after we derive it from there, and then we're going to put it back in its own place, in its own context, in order to derive other dinim. Ikabinayu, that's going to be the machlokas between, Tanakama and Rebbe. And this will all become more meaningful as we flesh it out in just a moment. There are bonan savri, don mine, umina. Which means, if the ikar, the main limud of Nidvash Shemen is from the Pasuk in the parasha of Korban Mincha, and it says, Nefesh ki sakriv korban mincha, the extra word korban, is then, we're going to learn, Ma mincha misnadvim, is af shemen misnadvim, and then after we apply the don mina, we're going to add mina. And mina means that we're going to derive other halachas from mincha, Ma mincha, just like in the case of Mincha, which is brought Benedava, which the Torah leaves anonymous as to what the minimum size he has to bring, he cannot bring less than an Isaron Soles accompanied by a Log Shemen. So that's in the case of a Minchas Nedava, and the Log Shemen is the minimum amount that he has to bring. And now from the word karbon, we're deriving a nedava shemen. It's afkan here too, a nedava shemen, and the Torah doesn't specify how much. Is lo yifchos milog shemen, and that's the sheet of the Tanakhama. That's called don mina umina. So nedava shemen is derived from a karbon mincha. And just like in mincha, the minimum of an accompaniment to the mincha, to the esaron, to the... to the Isar and Soles, we're going to have to bring a minimum of a Log Shemen. So too, as far as the Nedav of Shemen, we have to bring at least a minimum of a Log Shemen. And now we're ready for the Machlokas between Shmuel and Abaye. Is Ma Mincha, just like Mincha, which is the prototype, it's the Malamed, for Nidav Shemen is Komtza. He's Makter on the Mizbech, only a Komets. And Shiareha Necholim Lekohenim. Now we get to the Sheet of Shmuel. Af Shemen is Komtza V'Shiarev Necholim Lekohenim. So we're up to Shmuel. So we're doing fine. That's called Don Mina Umina. Don Mine Umina. However, the Idach, but Revi requires three Lugim as a minimum. And we'll soon see Abaye is Don Minavi Uki Ba'asra. We're going to derive from Mincha, the Ikra Din. Ma Mincha Misnadvim, Avshevim Misnadvim, just like Karbon Mincha is brought up in a Dava, so too Shemen is brought up in a Dava. But the other Dinim, the specifics, is Oki Ba'asra. We're going to take Shemen and we'll compare it to its own local context, Kibim Komo. We're not going to derive those dinim from mincha. So shemen abob benedav v'nei atzba, without any solace of mincha, is not going to be derived. Again, the ikar derivation of nedav is from mincha, but it's kinesachim. We should compare this shemen abob benedav v'nei atzba to nesachim. We have the prototype case of yayin, where he took a nedav to be yayin v'nei atzba without any karbon. That's called... That's the normal yayin is not bov v'nei atzmo. It's a company. It accompanies minchas nesachim. But in the case of nesachim, if he doesn't specify exactly how much nesachim, how much wine he's going to bring in his nedava, is the halacha is any pokeis mishlosha lugim. how much of yain does he have to bring? Shloshi lugim. So the minimum shear of nidvas yain is shloshi lugim, as explained in the Mishnah in Menachos Daf Kuv Zayin, because an adavas yain is derived from the parsha of Nesachim. But midbar tesvav kol ezrach yaseh kocha. That pasuk is completely superfluous, and we derive from that that you could bring things that are mentioned in that parasha as an adava. So just like there's minchas nesachim, there's also a adavas yayin, and the shear is a minimum of shlosha lugim, which is the same as revi sahin. And now af shemen, so too shemen, which is coming bin adava, is eno poches mishlosha lugim, because that's called uki biasra. So now we take it in its own local context, and we compare a nedava of shemen to a nedava of yayin, and they both require a minimum of shlosha lugim. Now we're ready for Abaye. Abaye is going to say, manis sochim, in the case of yayin, there's no shirayim, there's no divvying up amongst the Kohanim, but the entire volume of the nedavas yayin as a nedava of yayin b'fnei atzmus kul it's fallen is af shemen. If it comes b'nedava, it's not going to be divvied up amongst the Kohanim, but kulon le'ishim, the entire volume of the shemen is poured on the mizbeach. It's not the way Shmuel has it, that there's a kometz like in Minchan, and the shirayim go to the Kohanim. So Abaye, well, when he says that the nedav of shemen is kulo mukta leishim, he's holding like Rebbe. And Rav Papa now explains the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanan in a different vein. Omale Rav Papa Labaye, the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanan is not in this point, because imi mincha maisi le Rebbe is then kuyalma don mino mino. Even Rebbe would agree to the principle of don mino mino, and therefore the shear of shemen would be a minimum of log. So that's called kuyalma lo pligi, that don mino mino. Ella Rebbe, why does Rebbe require a shear of three lugim? Me ezrach gomer le. In the parasha minchas nesachim in Bamidbar Tesvav, it says kol ezrach ha ezrach yase kocha es ele. And that pasuk is completely superfluous. From this pasuk, Rebbe derives the conclusion that you can bring shemen as an adava. And therefore, even though Rebbe holds don mino umino like the Rabbanon, but nevertheless he holds that the shear of shemen is a minimum of shlosha lugim, because less than shlosha lugim in yayin, we said as minchas nesachim, you would require for the nesach of yayin a minimum of three lugim, and the same thing applies here in the case of a nedav of shemen. So again, since in the parash of Minchas Nesachim we have this extra pasuk called Ezrach that teaches me a nedav of shemen, the nedav of shemen now as a derivative of Minchas Nesachim is going to require a minimum, according to Rebbe, of shlosha lugim. The Gemara now proves Rav Papa from a brisa. Omalei Rav Huna Breid, Rav Nosson, Rav Papa, Mi Matzis Amrit Hachi. I'm sorry, just the opposite. The Gemara is going to quote a brisa that cannot be interpreted in the vein of Rav Papa. Mi motzis amrit hachi, can you accept Rav Papa that Abaye derives shemen binadava from Ezra? For Tanya, we learned in a braisa. The pasuk says vayikra beis v'nefesh ki sakriv karban mincha, and the extra word karban melami shemisnadvim shemen v'kama shlosha lugim. Now, who's the author of the Braisa of Shlosha Lugim? It's got to be Rebbe. And yet he's deriving it from the word Karban in the parasha Mincha. Man shamat le diomer Shlosha Lugim Rebbe hi ukamaisi mikarba Mincha. Not from Ezra. So Rav Papa now rescinds his original position. Amalei Rav Papa says the following, I Tanya Tanya. I didn't know about this Braisa. Now that you have the Braisa that reflects the Shita of Rebbe, for sure his Shita is that you derive Nedava Shemen from Karban, not from Ezra. And therefore, the machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanu, we have no choice, is going to be the machlokas of don mino mino or don mino vi uka biasra. Omar Shmuel hamisnadev yayin mevi umizalfo gabi ha'ishim. If a person takes upon himself a neder to bring yayin, a nidvas yayin, alone on his mizbeach without any carbon, then he pours it onto the ishim on the esh on the mizbeach. My taima, Omar Kra, the pasuk says in the parasha Minchas Nesachim, which comes with as an accompaniment with a carbon ola or a carbon shlamim. For example, in the case of Parben Bokar and Bamimber Tesvav, it says V'yayin sakriv lanesach chatziahin ishe reach nichoch lashem. And from the lashon of the pasuk, it says ishe. That proves that there's such a thing as yayin that is given over to the ishim, meaning it's poured directly onto the fire. And for sure, this is not the yayin that's brought together with Minchas Nesachim, because with regard to that, it says hasech nesach sheichar, which means that you take the nesach to the sfalim. So what is this yayin together with the isha, ishe reach, ishe meaning on the ishim? It must be talking about a nedavas yayin bifnei atzmo, and yesh lezalfa gabei ishim. According to the other man, the Omar, that ein mezalfin is a yayin al gabei ishim, which we're going to see the Bryce is going to identify that with Rabbi Akiva, that a nedavas yayin has to be lezfalim. Is the Svara is that you don't interpret Ishe here in this context as Ishim, as the Eish, but rather it's Meach Nichoach, Nachas Ruach Lefnei Hashem, like a carbon that's brought on to Ishim. So the Gemara asks the following Kasha. We have a lav in the Torah in Vayikra Vav in Parshas Noso. It says, Eish Tomid Tukad Al Mizbeach Lo Sichbe. We're not allowed to cause a kibui. An extinguishing of the fire on the of the fire of the Mizbeach. How is he going to pour the yayin directly onto the fire of the Mizbeach? According to Shmuel, he's going to violate the Iser of Kibui. So the Gemara answers, that's not really Kibui. Why? Because Kibui Mimiktas Lo Shmei Kibui. The fire is not going to be extinguished. It might be reduced, and that's called Miktas Kibui, but that's not called Kibui. That's not the Kibui that the Torah prohibited. The Torah meant, don't extinguish the fire completely. The Torah is only makpid on a complete extinguishing of the fire. It's got to be Tumid. Here it still remains Tumid, even though he did a Kibui B'Miktas. So the Gemara asks the question, Aini, is that really true, that Kibui B'Miktas Lo Shmei Kibui? And it's Mutter, V'Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rabba Baravu, Amorid, Gacheles, Malgabi Eish, V'Kibo, Chayv Malkus. If a person takes one single burning charcoal from the Mizbeach, and it goes out, it's extinguished, then he gets Malkus. He violates the law of Lo Sichbe. Even though he only took out one Gacheles, it must be that Kibur B'Miktas is also included in the Isur. And the Gemara answers, don't prove anything from that statement of Rav Nachman, because we could say that Rav Nachman is talking about a case of Deleka Elahai. It's not clear. He says, Morid Gachelos Magabim Zbeach. Are there many Gachelos, many coals on the Zbeach? Maybe we're talking about a case where there's only one single Gachelos, and when he removes that Gachelos and it's extinguished, there's no Eish at all. And then for sure he violates the Isur Lav. Again, you have to ask yourself the question, if there's only one Gacheles, what's the big deal? What's Rav Nachman coming to be Mechadish to me? For sure, this is a violation of Lo Sechabe. The Torah says, Eish Tomid Tukar Al Mizbech Lo Sichbe. Maybe the Chiddush is that he didn't directly extinguish the Gacheles. He only was Mori the Gacheles. So it's sort of like a grumma. And he's chayev for kibui, even begroma. Or maybe the chiddush is that he can't put the gachelis back onto the mizbeach once he's taken it off the mizbeach. So the moment he took it off the mizbeach, he violates the law and he's chayev malchus. Ibois, aim of the Gemara off is another yishuv, another teretz. There's really an isur in any kibui, even kibui b'miktas. I, if that be the case, Hakad Shmuel say mizalfin yayin al gabishim in the case of an nedas yayin, it's kibui. So the answer is kibui the mitzvah, shiny. When he does this kibui, he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. He took a nedava, he took a neder to bring the yayin, and he's doing the zilaf as a mitzvah. In such a case, there's no isur kibui. Saying that the Torah was mitzavah him to pour this yayin on the ishim, he doesn't violate in that case the isa kibui. Is this a din of esse dochalosas? Or is it din of mitzvah subakach, that the isa was only formulated in those situations where he's not motivated and obligated by a mitzvah to do this kibui b'mitzas? But in the case where he's obligated, that was never included in the isa to begin with. It's like kilayim b'tzitzis. It's not an essay dochalosas, but that's mitzvah subakach. There was never an isa of kilayim in that scenario. Rabbi Meir Simcha in the Or Sameach understands that what the Gemara is saying is that kibui mitzvahs is also, but nevertheless in a haktara situation, he's allowed because of esse docholosas. And here there's an essay because va'esh al mizbeach tukad bo. And in this case, we would normally assume that ein esse docholosas of the esse. In other words, the isur kibui is not just a losas, it's also an essay because it's a ha'esh al mizbeach tukad bo, but nevertheless here the essay is doch, the essay of ziluf yayin of a nedava is docha even a losasa and an essay, because the essay itself only applies when he, or the bittel essay, the violation essay only applies when he's mevatel, he's mechaber the entire esh. Kibur mixus as far as the essay is concerned is not a violation, it's only a violation of the Isur Lav. And therefore we can apply the principle of Esse Doche Losas. Shema, we have a raya that Kibu Shel Mitzvah is also prohibited. And how do we see that? The Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Klape Shenosna Torah Litrom Trumas Adeshen. The Torah gave us a mitzvah of Trumas Adeshen. Yochel, I might think, that if he finds that all the Gecholim on the Mizbeach are Lochashos, so there's still some Eish on these Gecholim, and he has no possibility of being Mekayim Trumas Adeshen, because there's nothing burnt completely, no ashes, is Yechaber, he can put out some of the Gecholim, the Yitrom, and he could be Mekayim the mitzvah Trumas Adeshen. That's all Yochel. Can he do such a thing? Or Marta, that's not true. Why? Because the Torah says, Lo Yechabe. So this price clearly indicates that even L'shem Mitzvah, for the sake of Mitzvah Trumas Hadesh, you're not allowed to be Mechabe, the Eish on the Mizbeah, even part of the Eish. So Gemara answers, Shani Hosom, Efsha de Yosef in Nosar. He could sit there and wait until the Kibri takes place, until the Gecholim go out by themselves and be Mechabe the Mitzvah. There's no need to be mechaber the esh for the sake of mitzvah. Mashenka, in the case of nedavas yayin, there's only one possibility to be mekayim this mitzvah of nedava, and that's ziluf al gabi esh. Toshma, I'm going to prove to you from a brisa that Shmuel is correct, that yayin shel nedava mezalfin al gabi esh, and we're not worried about lo sichbe. The brisa says yayin kedivrei Rabbi Akiva, a nedavas yayin, according to Rabbi Akiva, is l'sfolim. It doesn't go on the esh. Shemen, kidivrei Rabbi Tarfon, in the case of a nidvas shemen, it goes on to the esh, le'ishim. So we see clearly in this brisa that we don't do zilaf agabia ishim. So this is going to be a problem with Shmuel. I thought the Gemara was bringing a raya for Shmuel. My mistake. This is a kash on Shmuel, that the nisuch of the yayin in this case is on the sfolin. So how could Shmuel say the mezalfin is holy? Should be owed. And furthermore, Tanya, we have a brisa that yayin nesach, that niske yayin, which the Torah said you have to be makriv together with the ola and the shlomim, is menaschem el solis sfolin. Oh, perhaps you would say eina, not lisfolin, but ela leishim. We pour it directly on the esh. So when the Torah says, with regard to Niske Yayin, it says, V'yayin takriv la nesa chatzia hin ishe reach nichoch l'ashem. Let's look at the word isha, which seems to, ishe seems to imply that you pour it on the esh. Amarta. But the answer to that claim is no, lo yichbe. The Torah says lo yichbe. And if you're going to pour the yayin onto the esh, then you're going to violate the isha of lo yichbe. So we're not going to interpret the pasuk ishay as if to say you do the zilif of the yayin on the ash. So again, this is again Shmuel who says that in the case of nidvas yayin is mezalfal gabi ishim. So Gemara answers no. It's a machlokas tanoim. Lo kasha, from those prices, don't ask a kasha and Shmuel. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, veha, Rabbi Shimon. Those brisos, which indicate that because of the Iser Kibui, the Pasuk Ishe is not referring, it cannot be referring to pouring the yayin on the Eish. That's Rabbi Yehudi holds that in general, a Dover Shenim is Kavin in an Iser Torah is Asur. And therefore, even though his kavana in this kibui would be l'shem mitzvah, he doesn't have kavana to be mechaber, but rather to be maktir and be mekayim the mitzvah of kaktara. Nevertheless, he would violate the isur kibui, even without the kavana of lichbos. And therefore, we have to reinterpret the ishe to tell me that it's not aktara of the yayin on the eish, but rather it's nisuf yayin l'sfolim, which is a reach nichoach, like karbonos muktar mala eish. Ha, but Shmuel, he takes the Ishe literally to require Zilaf Agabiyah, and he reflects the Shita Reb Shimon. And Reb Shimon holds that with regard to Isurei Torah, if he's not miskaven, he doesn't have any intention of violating the Isur Torah, then he hasn't violated the Isur Torah, so there's no violation of the Isur Kibui, and then we can take the Pasuk Ishe literally to tell you the Akhtara of the Yayin is directly onto the fire. And he hasn't violated the Isur Kibui because it was Einu Miskaven. So the Gemara says, L'meimra de Shmuel k'Rabbi Shimon svirle. Is it really true that Rabbi Shimon accepts the Shita of... I'm sorry, that Shmuel accepts the Shita of Shmuel. After all, Ha'amar Shmuel, Mechabin gachelet shel matechas b'shus harabim b'shvil shelo yizuka barabim. In other words, on a deraisa level, there's no meleches kibui and a gachel shel mateches. It's only an isur derabanan. And if there's an issue of hezek rabim, the rabbanan don't have a gzerin, you're allowed to do the kibui. And now we turn to the aftzadi beis amid aleph. Avol lo gachel shel eitz. But if you want to be mechaba gachel shel eitz, even though it's bishus rabim, there's a hezek rabim, but here we're dealing with an isur melach of kibui min haTorah. An isur doraisa, and if there's no heter, the isalka daitach, if you're going to assume that Shmuel accepts the shita Reb Shimon, if that be the case, afilu gachel shel eitz nami, it's in the worst case scenario, it's an isur derabanan, because he doesn't have kavana here to violate the malach of kibui, he's only doing this for the sake of preventing a hezek of the rabbin. He doesn't have kavana to make pchamim, which is the kavana of meleches kibui, meaning that he doesn't want the eights to be nisraf legamre. But here, if he's being mechaba the eish, not because he wants the leftover gecholim or the pchamim, this is not a kibui midin Torah. And therefore, since he doesn't need the kibui for the gufa shel melacha, he needs to be mesalikid from the eish. In such a case, we would say it's in worst case an isur derabanan. So really, it could be possible that Reb Shimon, that Shmuel holds to Reb Shimon. And if Shmuel holds to Reb Shimon, then if there's a hezek or rishus harabim, even in the case of gachelas shel eitz, you would be mutter to be mechabe the gachelas because it would be only an isur derabanan. But why does Reb Shimon limit his heter of Limnoa Hesek B'Shus Rabim to the case of a Gachela Shel Mateches? It must be because he holds that even a Dover Shenim Miskaven is awesome. So the Gemara answers, let's make a split over here. That when Reb Shimon is Mater, Dover Shenim Miskaven, that's a Dover Shenim Miskaven. But in the case of Kibui, if he's not interested in the Gecholim, we have also an additional element here called Malacha Shein Tzrich LeGuf. He doesn't need the Guf HaMalacha. He doesn't need to end up with the Gecholim, or with the Pchamim, we would say. And in the Dover Shein Miskavin, Savalok Reb Shimon who accept the Shita of Reb Shimon, that a Dover Shein Miskavin is Mutter. Therefore, there's no Isa Kibui if he's not Miskavin. And it's possible, therefore, to say that the word Ishe means that you literally, you mezalif the ayin al gabi ishim. And therefore, based on standing on the shoulders of Rav Shimon, we're going to allow this kibui because he doesn't have an intention of kibui. He's only doing the haktorah to be mekayim in the midst of zilif yayin of nedava. That he's chayev, and therefore Shmuel makes a distinction between gachelas shel mateches and gachelas shel eitz. Then, in the case of Hezek Rabim, you're allowed to be mechaba gachelas shel mateches because that iser is only the rabbanon. In the case of gachelas shel eitz, where you can, at best, in the best case scenario, you can come up with lochshen itzrichel gufa, there the iser kibu would be minat Torah because Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda that lochshen itzrichel gufa is an iser doraisa, and therefore we're not going to allow you to be mechabit even if there's a Hezek Rabim. So we have another little piece to finish and make a siyum tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, on the 9th perek of, I meant to say the 10th perek of Zvachim, and Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick that up tomorrow.